Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 754. I was going to say 745. I was like, that doesn't seem right. And it's not 754. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I am not dyslexic. I'm like Chris.
Yeah. That's a it's a new thing that just happened right now. Thank you for diagnosing me.
You're welcome.
Earl is here as well from Happy New York.
We are the New York
Knicks.
Yeah.
Little New York ninja rap going on there.
The 90s were a different time.
Yeah, they were. And Jeff is here as well.
Yeah. Don't worry, guys. I'm not jacking it on the call. It's thumb wrestling.
I forgot about that.
Don't worry, Tony. You'll find out.
Jeff will he'll get into it.
I don't know if that's on Jeff 5.
Oh no, I think Jeff would like a half hour block just to bitch about the Nintendo Direct. which was a weird presentation. I think in a vacuum, like if you look at the list of things outside of thumb wrestling, it's not a bad list of things, but the way it was delivered, so strange.
It's what I used to complain about with Sony. Good content, bad presentation.
Saying I don't even agree with that. I thought Nintendo's show was a disaster. I thought it was like, they haven't had a show this bad in the Switch era. So I'm talking from like the last 10 years. I thought it was terrible. I thought the content was fucking terrible. It was awful. The content was
great, but I think it depends on the type of gamer you are. Because there's a lot of like Japanese RPGs that kind of curated this, but it's hard to make, you know, Ocarina of Time remake, Xenoblade, Kingdom Hearts 4 new trailer, Fire Emblem, and stuff like that. And make it. I mean, again, I think it was a really good content wise. How they presented all of that was just weird.
Yeah, and everybody is there waiting for Zelda, and you get Link sleeping, like that. Yeah. That was it. It's out in the next 6 months.
It's that and Dustbread where I was very confused as to like these are both this year. Dustbread has a network test in 2 months. Why are you not showing anything?
Yeah, it was like. Like, if I look at the list, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Like, Xenoblade Genesis, that's awesome. Kingdom Hearts 4 coming to Switch but at not launch. A, awesome.
Just saying, not even just coming. It was, everybody was we're not going to hear anything about Kingdom Hearts anytime soon. Wasn't that Game Fest? Wasn't that PlayStation? Wasn't that Xbox? And they got it. And it's like, it's a big get. But it's like, yeah, it's like, you think about that. And it's like, just sandwich in between a really nothing burger Zelda announcement. I think if it was in such an open secret where everybody's kind of been talking about it since February.
Yeah, but since everybody knew, Nintendo needed to adjust their fucking presentation. Like I was gaming it out with Chris the day before. I'm like, you open with Ocarina. Just get that out of the way so that you can focus on the other stuff. Because otherwise, you're just going to be sitting there all the time. Are they going to show it? And then, like... I could see when they originally planned it, like, oh, it's going to be such an awesome teaser at the end of the show. But since people knew about it, it wasn't an awesome teaser. It fucking sucked.
I will say we don't know anything
about this anymore. Like, we know as much as we did before. Teaser,
but is a teaser what they needed at this point?
They should have front-ended it and made a trailer. Like, come on, dude. Like, what? Why even excuse a real trailer that shows
gameplay? Like, yeah, it's Ocarina, and so everyone kind of knows how it's going to play.
And then,
show it in action.
It's coming out this year. Yeah. It's coming out this year, supposedly, right? So put it at the top, do a full trailer, and then at the end, your teaser is 3D Mario, which we know is coming next year. And that's where you show, like, a fucking Mario hat. And then, you know. I don't understand what they were fucking thinking. It's like they lost their fucking minds on this show. Like, it was so bad.
I will give them credit on that. I understand them not wanting, like, 3D Mario probably would be like a holiday title next year or something like that. I understand not wanting to do that too far in advance. You don't need to do that too far in advance. What I was surprised by is the complete lack of Mario. There was not a single Mario game.
Where's the Mario Kart DLC?
Dude,
where is anything for that game?
That's why, like, I don't understand everyone being like, well, on paper, it was like, yeah, there's some good RPGs in there and shit, but like,
yeah, dude. Well, that's the thing. Like, on paper, Jeff, like, those games are good, right? Like, people want a new Xenoblade. They want the upgrades. Like, we got all three getting an upgrade. Kingdom Hearts coming, the whole Kingdom Hearts package coming over, at a decent price as well.
Yeah,
I guess that one's a miss for me because I just don't like Kingdom Hearts. So, like, I get it. I get people like it. So, whatever. Dude, the thing is, all that stuff's cool, and that would, like, add to a robust Nintendo Direct. But, like, what was missing from this was literally every major Nintendo franchise was not there. Nothing, dude. No, and what's going on? Like Chris said, what's going on with Mario Kart? Like, you fucking put this game out there.
Donkey Kong was there. I mean, those are
Donkey Kong was there in the. We're gonna have these, and this is another thing, and I really don't like this with Nintendo. We're gonna do this time thing that these are gonna disappear at some point. So, like,
get it now.
Yeah,
give me your money.
But it's not. I think they're free, which is nice. But it's like they're only here for a limited time. So, have at it, I guess.
Anyways, sorry to get all mad right at the top, but like I thought
Jeff is very upset.
We're halfway through the show, and I'm telling Chris, like, I've lost all hope. Like, this is an absolute train wreck. By the time we got to Wii Sports or Switch Sports Resort, I was like, dude, did you guys forget how to make video games again? Go back to your Wii mentality? What the fuck are you doing?
But it's Nintendo. Like, they suck at. They have a message. They know what the message is. They've always, like, there's always been this weird disconnect about them actually getting that message out.
Yeah, I would also point out, like, it's not like that is a big game for them. The last one sold 20 million copies. Like, that's not a small potato game.
Yeah, and I was the only fucking dumb fuck on the show that bought it. And you know how much I played it? Maybe fucking 2 or 3 hours. Great.
But again, wonderful. As a whole, It is a major franchise. Like, it is bigger.
We go through this every time. But who fucking cares, dude? The normie people aren't watching this, dude. They're not watching this.
But it's not just for them. I mean, it's not just for you. And I don't disagree with you.
These have always been. I mean, we've adopted them. Like the gaming community has adopted these E3, not E3 presentations. But originally,
They were
for investors, like
investors in retail. It'd be like what's coming out in the holiday season and stuff like that. And I will say, like, they're like, I think Sun Off with Rhythm Heaven was a choice that I definitely would not have made. I think it's a very cute game. It's just an awkward game to start off your press conference with. I think, again, no pacing whatsoever. But again, overall, I mean, you look at it, they have almost a major game. Again, Splatoon, I think a major franchise. Getting an actual single-player focused game. Did not show well. Also weird. And then it's like announcing that, like, there's a direct at the end of the month for that. But like, that's one of those games I will pick up because I've enjoyed my time with all the Splatoon single-player games and the multiplayer. But like, having a dedicated, essentially, Salmon Run type game, I'm curious to see how this experience goes. Again, I love Xenoblade. I would be there for Xenoblade Genesis day one. But I get it. It's not like, it's weird that we're going to go into, I mean, year two and a half, like calendar year two of the Switch.
We're at year one, right? Like, yeah. We've just ended year one.
Without like a major Mario, a Zelda, Smash Brothers. I mean, Pokemon will come maybe in year two.
That's the other one. Where's the Switch 2 version of Smash Ultimate? I get you're not going to make a new Smash. Like, that one has 4 billion characters, 70 billion stages. Like, there's so much content in there, but you could just throw out your $10 upgrade, maybe a handful of new characters, and people would eat that shit up.
Yeah.
And again, I think there's like new Fire Emblem's exciting, but I think Fire Emblem's not necessarily like, oh, the go to like that's a franchise that's a good year 2-3 game because you have the other stuff.
Fine with it being in the mix, but like I where's anything, dude? Where's Luigi's Mansion? Where's the Mario Kart is crying out for DLC. Where the fuck is
that? That was the one I was because when we were talking before the show, Jeff, you had mentioned like you thought like Luigi's Mansion 4 maybe.
Same time. Like,
I just
didn't they just remake one?
Games like I was just wondering like if you had heard anything out there about it, or that was just like on your wish list of things.
It wasn't on my wish list, but anytime I heard someone predict it, it made sense to me because it's been a while. The studio has not been doing too much, I don't think, and Luigi's Mansion 3 was like a big seller, so it's just like I don't know, man. Like I'm just like shocked that like. It's crazy. Like, I was the biggest defender of their year one. I thought their lineup was awesome, dude. Like, I think Pacopia is a fucking great game. I think Donkey Kong is awesome. Like, and then, so I'm like, they know what they're doing these days. They've been on a roll for a fucking few years now. And then going into this, like, I'm just like, dude, where did anything go? Where is, like, any of your fucking big franchises? Like,
again, it's such a fascinating thing because I think year two is much more interesting than year one. Aside from, like, Donkey Kong.
The Zelda by itself makes it more interesting for me, like coming into this year two, because outside of Mario Kart, I was not like super impressed with year one.
There's nothing as big in my mind as the 1-2 punch of Mario Kart and Donkey Kong that we got in the first 2 months. Like nothing coming up looks as big to me as that. Like, I don't know. Like,
I just how are you defining big?
It's big pop, like one of their big popular franchises.
Say Switch Sports would sell more than Donkey Kong. Mario Kart.
Yeah. Okay. You guys say this every time with the fucking Wii Sports, but nobody fucking cares, dude. Nobody cares. Great. It sells. Who cares?
What do you mean?
Well,
by
we don't care, Jeff, but. Obviously, somebody.
I think people that buy it don't even care. They just think that they have to have the bowling game for when they have fucking family over.
And they care. They care more than they care.
I just don't know why I excuse this shit. Because it sells a lot. Who cares? Dude, who cares? I don't give a fuck what it sells. I don't care what Donkey Kong sells. I don't give a shit.
This is your criteria. You're the one who bought it up.
But Donkey Kong, I.
Real video games.
And again, for me, a much more interesting year with Zelda, Splatoon, Fire Emblem. Those, Star Fox. I had Donkey Kong in year one. Like, to me, it's a much more interesting year. Dustfield, whatever that ends up being.
I enjoyed Donkey Kong. I will never play that game again, and I will never think about Donkey Kong Bonanza again. unless you bring it up. Like, I'm never gonna be like, I need to play Donkey Kong. In the moment.
I love Donkey Kong. It was my number two game last year. But I think on paper, I think this year's single player offerings are much more there's a lot more that I'm interested in from them.
It's a weird show. I get Jeff's
I get it. It's a weird It feels like 8 or 9 of the Switch. Like, these are games that it's like your system's established. You have people invested. Like, I think the point you're trying to make is like there are not necessarily anything that I would consider system sellers in the same way that I would.
The point I'm trying to make is all of their major franchises are absent. No Mario. No Metroid. No Pikmin. No Animal Crossing.
Splatoon is bigger than Animal Crossing. It's bigger than Pikmin. And it's bigger than
Metroid. Sucks. And fucking.
But it's a big franchise.
Japan.
And here.
It's not that big here.
Splatoon is huge here.
In the United States.
Yes. Metroid has sold, what, 2 million on each game. The two sells that in the United States alone.
There's a reason that Metroid disappears, and there's not a huge outcry.
Yeah,
we're on 4 Splatoon games in a decade, and we're on, what, 2 Metroid games in the past 10 years?
Splatoon 3 sold 12 million copies, and most of them were here in the U.S.
That's not who I see when playing the game when I fucking log on.
You're just getting routed into the Asian.
I just think Splatoon kind of like I'm done with Splatoon. Like I'm fucking done with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm, like you have like when you have like I get what you're trying, but like on paper, bigger franchise than most of their other stuff. Fire Emblem's bigger than Metroid nowadays. Like Metroid,
this isn't even a real Splatoon game. Like,
but it is. That's why I'm excited for it. Because, like, I think the Splatoon single-player stuff has been really good, but it's always been, like, in addition to the multiplayer. Like, it's nice to see them, like, take... I want to see what they do when they have an opportunity to take the entire experience and just craft a single-player experience around all those mechanics. Because there's some great mechanics in there, and I've enjoyed the single... Splatoon single-player... First game single-player is some of my favorite. Two kind of retreads it a lot. Three does that, but then the DLC... I forget what it's called. That kind of introduces a, and I think this is what they're building off of. They seem to be combining elements of 3's DLC, First Order, Last District, whatever it's called, and Salmon Run, which is kind of like their horror mode, but making that more of a story-driven thing. So I'm excited to see what comes of that. Again, that's me. I do love Splatoon.
I'm gonna let you experiment with that one, Earl. And I like the Splatoon single player stuff. I like the campaigns in them, but I don't. This one's not calling me. But if you're like, yeah, this was fun.
Again, I think it's only what $50 or something like that. So that is the right price for me to try out stuff.
Yeah. Jeff did try out the Star Fox demo though, and liked it. So
yeah,
something good came out of it, I guess.
I was surprised because a few weeks ago I just tried out Star Fox 64, and I was like, dude, are you really gonna fucking buy this again? And I tried the demo, and I liked it. I still am like pretty hesitant about getting the game, but I do feel like they made the controls. For sure.
Better.
Like well, like in the 64 one, to like do a somersault, you would have to like press down on one stick and right on the other. And here it's just like press down on the D-pad. It's like they cleaned up the controls. Obviously, it looks really good.
I will say that took some getting used to, because I've never actually played a Star Fox game, so I did try the demo because I've been curious about it for the presentation. But yeah, that was very confusing because it's like I think up is a somersault, and then down is a 360?
A U-turn,
but only in open space areas?
Yeah, when you're in free roam, like free range, whatever yeah. they call it.
And then I think right is like Rob the Robot. Rob 64 will show up every so often and give you hints. But I didn't try, but then there's like the combinations where you can just press like up and B, and that will do the somersault, and down and S, and that will, and I'm kind of curious to see that. Because I think I'd find more interest in that than having to take my hand off of the... Because there's no way to do it without taking your hand off of the analog stick. Also, and I guess this is how Star Fox 64 played, but I wish they updated it. It's very weird that like you just control the ship and the aiming in the same direction. I would hope that, like, you know, we've had 20 years of advancements. I would hope that they like, control the aiming...
Oh, like make it two sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
But why?
I mean, it works fine as it is, I guess. But
that's how flight games work, though. Like they're single stick. Like when you're in a cockpit, you're not aiming with a different stick. You're aiming with your
flight stick.
That is fair. But my head is just like so many video games. I'm trying to aim with my. I'm trying to aim separately from the direction I'm flying.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. It's like I also get why if you're gonna make a flight game, like because Ace Combat same way, like you aim and shoot with the stick that you control, because where your nose of your
that
plane ship is like Yeah, that's the reticule. So,
you know what's funny? So the demo has, it's the second level of Star Fox 64, and I'm no expert on Star Fox 64. I don't think I even owned it. But it's also the second level of Star Fox. Like,
so Star Fox 64 is a remake of Star Fox.
Yes. So it's like we're just remaking literally the same. Yes. Like, yeah. Like the boss at the end of the demo.
Is this the fourth time? This is the fourth time, right?
Yes.
They remade it on, was it Wii?
I think it's the fifth time. Because Star Fox, then Star Fox 64 is a used remake of Star Fox.
Yes.
Then Star Fox... then Star Fox 3DS, which is just a straight up remake of Star Fox 64. Then Star Fox Zero is a loose interpretation of the events of Star Fox 64. And now Star Fox is a remake of Star Fox 64, which is a remake of Star Fox.
It cracks me up because everyone harkens back to 64, like that's their game. And for me, like I might have played it when it came out, but I sure as fuck played the original Star Fox, and I was a huge, huge fan of it. And I played it over and over and over to the point that I'm playing this level on the demo. I'm like, this is just the asteroid level 2. And then I get to the boss. I'm like, this is literally the boss from Super Nintendo Star Fox. Like, crazy.
So, and you know, take this with a grain of salt because it's rumors, but I was listening to it's not Waypoint anymore.
Is that
anyway? No. Yeah. Remap. Yeah. Remap Radio. I was listening to them, and Patrick Klepek was saying that what he's heard, and he's pretty good investigative journalist for games, that Nintendo has like a younger team working on Star Fox, and basically it was, we want you to learn how to make a Star Fox game. Go
do this and
basically remake Star Fox 64, and then next year there will be another Star Fox game, but it'll be brand new.
Yeah, well, I've heard this too.
So okay, so it came out. We know who the developers are. It is the people behind I always forget the name of that stupid game. The Star Assault Star, the Ubisoft Toys to Life game. Starring.
I know what this is too, because I own it. Starlink. Yep. Is it Starlink? No.
Yes. And I assume they did the Star Fox stuff in that, and that was actually really good stuff. But I very much feel like this is the Mercury Steam who remade Metroid 2 and then got to do Metroid Dread thing, because it's a studio that Nintendo has worked with, because they did Mario Kart Live. If you remember that from the Switch era. And I think
that was the one with the real cars, right?
Yeah. That and like navigated the environments and stuff like that. And so they've done that, and it came out this week. And once that came out, I'm like, oh, this is very much them being like, hey, let's see, like, here's how you earn the fundamentals of Star Fox. We're just going to have you make the one game people actually do love in the franchise. That university is beloved because Assault has its fans, Adventures has its fans, I don't think Command has its fans, but like the one game everybody university loves. And then I think if you get this, we'll give you an actual Star Fox game to make, because I think what has happened is, because you know, to the point we just make in the making about Star Fox being remade roughly 5 times, is that there has been other attempts, but they've never really had all the elements that had made people love them. I think Adventures is probably the closest, and that's partially because it's a Zelda-esque game. I think, you know, trying to do on-foot stuff is not necessarily what everybody wants.
But they could definitely put that into the GameCube app. I would play Star Fox Adventures.
Oh, I would fucking love it. That was the thing I was hoping for too. Yeah. I was hoping for Nintendo to add update the GameCube app. Yeah, I thought it was a perfect time to put Star Fox Adventures, which I love that game. I think the game's underrated.
And again, I think it's one of those games that when people will go back and try it, maybe. But yeah, yes, it is one of those at the time, I think. And there was also some, you know, Nintendo fan stuff with Rare at the time. But yeah, it. But yeah, I, again, not a Star Fox fan, but looking at retrospective recently and being like, oh, no, they have actually continued this story beyond this. But they keep on going back to 64 because they don't know. They haven't figured out what to do beyond that. For, yep. That fans enjoy.
I do wonder though, like, because like from the original Star Fox to 64 does add levels and stuff, and it has like the land thing that you like, the tank thing that you drive, like, yeah, that's not the original. So I wonder if they'll like add a couple levels here, something.
Be nice.
$50
It seems like the big thing they're adding is because like the prologue I think is new and some of the cutscenes and stuff, but like, yes, I think everybody's hope is like, this can't be it. You can't just straight up be remaking this. I'm hoping they do something that teases a sequel for people. Because again, this seems to be like there's a very dedicated Star Fox community. And I know people want their horny crystal back.
Oh, yeah, bro.
All right. Well, that's Star Fox. It's coming out in 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
25th, I think Jeff told me. I was thinking it was next week and was excited, and then he told me I was wrong. So
no, it's the 20th. At least 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, it's end of June. But yeah, not E3. Obviously, it has happened. We bitched about Nintendo. What were some things you guys liked, though?
Can I just say,
I really liked the fact that once again they scheduled it while I was away in June. I'm not sure how this
every year.
I mean, it's always every early year. June. So.
Well, no, it's not. And that's the problem. My conference sometimes is later in June. And every time it's later, E3's or this is later. I don't understand what I did. I'm being punished for something.
I will just say this much up front. I think this is probably the best not E3 since we started doing this. I think, you know, I think we joked before, ages ago, that we used to, because what would happen is, like, we'd have to spread out throughout all of June. And the fact that, like, everything was within 8 days, if you count from the time.
It was the E3 schedule.
Yeah.
The only part I was able to actually catch live was Jeff Keighley himself, which, you know.
That was on Friday.
Yeah. And that was I saw half of that, and I had to go. I forgot what I was doing.
So I was like, I was at a hotel in Page, Arizona, because we were we were gonna do a tour of something called Antelope Valley, which if you have ever seen, is like fantastic. I recommend you go highly. But whatever, we had a tour scheduled for 4:00. Local time, and the show was going from like 2:00 local time to 4:00, but I needed to be ready for the tour at 3:30. My son texted me right before the show started. He's like, can we watch this together, like online, because I really hope there's going to be a Monster Hunter announcement.
And he got
so we're one. Sitting here I'm sitting at my computer in my hotel room, like watching the clock tick down, watching this show go, hoping there's a Monster announcement before I have to leave. I believe it was 3:30 exactly when I was about to, like, I have to go, when they announced the Monster Hunter expansion.
Like,
perfectly
go.
Timed.
Worked out perfectly. and your kids are happy.
My kids were super happy. They're like, jumping around on the other end of the phone. I'm like, thank God. And as soon as it was over, I was like, all right, kids, gotta go. I turned the show off and went off to my tour, but
I had I had something, and I think I was, because it was really good, and I was like, it got to like RuneScape. I'm like, oh, RuneScape, I can go now. My deed is done. But yeah, I think, again, I think it was great shows across the board. I will just add one story, because I don't know if any of you did this, because I did the Sony event at the movie theater. They were doing that Alamo. And so we got there, we got free popcorn, we got a State of Play hat. I will say I was a bit disappointed in that, because I figured them doing it in a movie theater would have been like one of the last ones I remember doing was like the Year of Dreams, when like it was like the Last Guardian, it was Final Fantasy VII remake announcement. It was, I forget what the other game was. It's like three games that people didn't think were possible. And like this one was like, it was a solid show, but I'm like, oh, this isn't movie theater worthy. I mean, it's like half of it was Wolverine and God of War Fea.
So their big game for the September, and then their God of War kind of spinoff,
yes,
with Kratos's dead wife.
Yes. And I was like, oh, okay. But again, I the same thing. The audience was very, I think they peaked up at the Fea thing because they knew it was. And there was like one other game before that. It's been 2 weeks. I mean, in a week and a half, I remember what was announced there. But there's a game before that, one or two games that people got really excited for. But other than that, it was very radio solid. And I assume these had to be like the diehards of diehards. But again, I think it was, if not for the movie theater, it was a solid show. It's just like, I don't think, and people are like, oh no, you got to see God of War. I'm like, yeah, these games are good. But it was not like, I didn't need to see it on a 100-foot screen. That's not how I'm going to play it. So
you're not going to play it in a theater?
If they at me, the only game I played in theaters was, because this came up recently with a friend. I was like, yeah, they used to do these events all the time. I remember back in the day, I went to Uncharted 3 event, and they had it at the Regal in Union Square here in New York City. And we got to play the multiplayer on a giant-ass movie screen.
That's cool.
So,
Do you play God of War, Earl?
Yeah, I played through the original trilogy, and I played the 2018, reboot. The boy. I've never played Ragnarok, and I feel like I'm going to go back to it. God of War, I will say, I think the new series has alleviated my main issue with the franchise, which is like great combat. Kratos was always an awful main character. But they mellowed him out in the remake, the reboots. The sequels, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they follow along. That's just just kind of like a different pantheon.
Yes, because like again, I used to enjoy the games, but I was like, Kratos, you're getting yourself into all of this trouble. Like you create all of your own headaches, and then they were able to get around that with 2018 because like that point, they come to him. Now on your side. Otherwise, it's like he's just being some idiot who he's a meathead, but they mowed him out. And I do prefer the combat in the originals. I do like that beat 'em up. But again, the 2018 with like the axe and stuff was really cool. And honestly, this is probably before I was on the show. Because one of the reasons I bought my PS4 was for God of War. It's why I had the God of War PS4, the God of War Special Edition console and stuff like that. It was nice. That and I think Spider-Man around the same time. I think that was 2018. I think Spider-Man was fall of 2018. So, yeah. So, and I would say, I mean, I think our homework assignment, just so we would put it out, God of War Fail was the second game I put on my list of like the top five games I want to talk about from the show.
Okay. Anything you want to add on to God of War?
This is probably not the best thing to say, but I'm also happy that it's making the right people mad.
Yeah, it is. It is making some chuds mad. Man, this has been a wild week. So yeah, everybody got upset about God of War, and they're making it woke.
To be fair, before you get into this. Yeah. The original God of War trilogy was like the ultimate chud franchise.
Yes.
Like it was about random button-based sex games and like killing shit as a dude. And
yep.
The ultimate white dude. Like a dude so white, he'd basically been dyed white by his chud behavior.
Yes, the ashes of his enemies made him more white. Yeah. That's true. But yeah, they're all pissed off online about this. Although everything I saw still looks like God of War.
God of War. Right? That's the thing.
I don't know. Okay.
It's such a... I hate these people so much. But it's so
Did you guys catch the other chud that... So there was an advertisement, a poster for Halo Combat.
Campaign
Evolved, and it has like there's like a purple wisp coming through the clouds. They're making it trance, and it's like that.
No, bisexual lighting.
bisexual lighting. They're like, this is ridiculous, and it's like it's literally a covenant warship coming through the clouds, because they're purple. It always have been since the beginning, but these people are idiots, and they just continue to prove it every time out. Jeff, what did you like?
Not a lot, but one thing, I guess I forgot it had been announced, but when the trailer hit, Castlevania Belmont's Curse.
That's on my list here too.
Did you remember that had been announced? Like I just totally forgot about it. And yes.
Was it announced at Game Awards, right?
Yeah. Briefly, and it's by the
Dead Cells
guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Who basically made a Castlevania game with Dead Cells. it's more a traditional linear. Like, I mean, there's open, so you're going to explore, but it's not a roguelike like Dead Cells was. So it looks phenomenal. I'm with you, Jeff. Super hyped for that one.
It just looks like, you know, the newer 2D Castlevanias, but with like a new art style. Yeah, it looks awesome.
Really looking forward to that one as well.
But this is more of a traditional Castlevania. This isn't like the Metroidvania type.
It looked like it to me that it was.
Oh.
They even show you like leveling up and stuff in it. Like,
but I was thinking more of the Dead Cell stuff and that of the. But again, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see more. But based on what I like, it looks like a Castlevania game. Like it. Now,
yeah,
is
like
it,
the NES is Castlevania. Yes, of the.
Yeah, what like, which Castlevania are we talking about?
Yeah, that's why it's
so they've all been big open maps for like ever. So like I was just assuming it would be that again.
Even if you go back to the more linear ones that were level based, like those levels are huge.
Yeah.
But they are just like you're pushing forward, you're not exploring. You know, we only got like what a 90 second clip of it in the Xbox showcase, but looks like Castlevania. I don't know. Looks fun.
Yeah, I'm like very excited for it. It comes out right in the middle of October too. It's great.
I mean, everything comes out between September and October.
Yeah, true. But that's perfect really time for Castlevania.
$40 game. So. It's not it's not like a budget price game, but it's not a $70 push either. So, I guess the biggest one for me was I think it was the Nintendo showcase, that Final Fantasy Resonance, which is the 2D HD 2D, is that what they're calling it? Final Fantasy game that is coming out.
October as well.
Also in October, it's like gonna be a retro October for me. And Resonance is very much like Octopath Traveler Zero, which is a rework of a mobile game. It's Octopath Traveler Zero, which everyone seems to love. I haven't played it yet. That was a rework of the Octopath mobile game. This is a rework of Final Fantasy Brave Exvius. But they've like really overhauled everything, no gotcha mechanics. Like it's a straight Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what it actually comes of it and what people think of it. because like it's, I mean, just not just being 2D in it, but it's the first like turn-based Final Fantasy since 9, like actually just like straight up turn-based, no ATB or anything like that.
I'd have to go back and play because like because even 7 and 8 were they've done active time battle since 4. Like it's been around for a long time.
I kind of want to see. Like, I hope this succeeds because, and I think this. I mean, there's only a handful of franchises that pulled it off. I think this 3, Sonic, Mario, and Zelda, where it's like we have the traditional like 2. This is like the bread, our bread and butter in the olden days. But we've also been able to evolve into 3D, and we've been able to keep both going. Like Mario worked like. A 2D Mario is just as important as a 3D Mario. I think a 2D Zelda is just important, but I think a 2D Zelda still works. I have Echoes of Wisdom. I have the Between Worlds. But you still get your Breath of the Wild, you still get your Ocarina, you still get your Twilight Princess, whatever. And Sonic, you get like Sonic Mania. Honestly, you got Sonic Mania. I guess Sonic Superstars, and that wasn't as great, but... Yeah, so I'm happy. I want to see other games. Like, yeah, we can maintain we can have like a 3D that takes 6-7 years, and we can make a 2D one that maybe takes half the time, but is like just as important and just as much effort put into it.
Yeah.
What was that?
Sorry.
yeah, looking forward to this one. Anybody else got stuff on their list they want to shout out here?
Well, I will be back out since we're talking about Nintendo. As I mentioned it before, but Xenoblade Genesis. I'm excited for a new adventure in the Xenoblade universe. I'm kind of tempted, though, each being 100 hours. I don't know how much I would get into a Xenoblade upgrade, but I am kind of tempted to kind of replay all, like, at least the first game. I've never actually finished the third game. When Switch 2 upgrades come out, but like this looks great. I'm kind of intrigued by it. I'm kind of intrigued and also annoyed by the school setting because it reminds me so much of Fire Emblem Three Houses, which I'm currently playing through. That I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want you to be in a school setting since we already have. But also, I don't think Fire Emblem Fortune Weaves is a school setting, but it also has like the similar. You'll run around like a kind of campus or the Roman Colosseum or whatever you do.
Yep.
But the Genesis looks great. I do have that they, you know, I think they're probably one of Nintendo's more consistent developers because like Xenoblade's almost on like a 3 to 4 year cycle. I mean, 3 is in 2022, 2023. They've re-released X since then. They're doing an upgrade to all 3 of these games. They've re-released 1 and, you know, they've done DLC for 2 and 3 and Swords. But I'm happy for all of that. And I'm excited. Again, I think I was telling somebody on Blue Sky today, it's probably my favorite RPG franchise, which isn't saying a lot, but it's like I own special editions for all of those games. So seeing a new one that's out next year, I'm excited for that. That has shot up on top of my, you know, one of my most anticipated games next year.
Also looking forward to it on my side. And those the trilogy upgrades, 1 is out now, right?
Yes,
that launched already, and then 2 is in a couple months, and 3 is at the
end
of the year.
It's like essentially they kind of just fill in like gaps in their lineup with like, hey, here's like a 100-hour RPG for you if you want to do that.
Yep. So I've the only one I finished was the first one, so I will probably give 2 and 3 a good go at some point. But Genesis looked really intriguing. So
yeah, and I like that the way they're selling it. It does sound like I don't know if there'll be a trilogy again, but it does sound like it's a start of a. Because again, I don't think they ever intended it to be, but somehow they did end up tying the 3 Chronicle games together. Like I like that Genesis. I assume we'll get like Genesis 1, 2, and 3 as well, and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm stoked for more Xenoblade.
Tony, and anything else that you saw while you were away?
Oh no, there were a few things. I think some of it was being pleasantly surprised by how soon things were. In one case, the Star Wars Zero Company.
Yeah, August.
August, like 2 months from now. That is utterly acceptable. That game looks really good. I love games in that style to begin with, and add the Star Wars element. They showed off some Jedi stuff, which looked really cool. It also looks like it was hard to tell. Like, a lot of your folks look like they're like Empire, either they're from the Empire or like escape from the Empire. So like, it wasn't clear whether you were playing as the good guys or the bad guys. I'm kind of wondering.
So I think the thing I saw, it's all revealed that it takes place during the Clone Wars. So you're reject clone troopers.
I see now. Okay, that makes sense.
And Anakin's going to show up at some point. I don't know if you get to play as him or not, but yeah, that's it all takes place before episode 3. So
okay, all right. Very excited for that. I don't have a ton of games on my game buying list for this year, but that's on there.
I have a bunch, but I have to narrow it down because there are some that I want, and then there's some where I'm like, honestly, speaking of a bunch of games I haven't got this year yet, I still want Batman, I still want Bond.
My list is normally pretty long. It's about half the size it normally is this year. I'm assuming it's because they're hiding from GTA and they've all moved to next year.
Because I'm excited for, it's not on my list, but I'm excited for Gears of War E-Day. But I'm like, that's a Game Pass game. I don't necessarily have to worry about paying for it. Same thing with Halo campaign involved. So I don't count those because I'm like, technically, I'll pay for a service that gives me access to them.
Yeah.
Right. I mentioned this earlier. The Monster Hunter Wilds Ascendance expansion looks really cool. They didn't show off very much information, but of course my kids are like doing all the research they can and watching like all like the videos and stuff. And apparently there's lots of callbacks in the trailer to like classic monsters from the franchise that they're pulling back into the game.
Nice.
I'm curious.
I really liked Wilds. I played a ton of it. I am more than happy to get more of that game.
You ever showed it in the movie?
The Monster Hunter movie.
don't worry, Tony. It's gonna come up at some point as we progress.
We'll get to it eventually. But
great. There's a movie?
Yes.
Yes.
If it helps you or hurts you, it's by the guy who's done the Resident Evil movies you've seen so far. Also starring his wife.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds like something I don't want to watch. All right, awesome.
Is Tony Jaa in that too?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting take on Monster Hunter. I would say that much. There's like one scene that's really interesting in terms of like, oh, this is Monster Hunter, and then the rest of the movie exists around that. Not in a good way.
Yep. Tony Jaa plays the hunter in Monster Hunter.
Yes. But great. I don't know. It would be fun to just show them, they can be disappointed at an early age. Like we were with like Mario and Street Fighter and Double Dragon and Mortal Kombat and, you know, pretty much any video game movie in the prior 20 years.
One of the games that really like got me, I don't know that I will actually end up playing this game because I don't know what the style of the game will be, but the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the last Ronin game.
Ronin.
Okay, yeah. So I don't count that yet because we saw nothing.
We literally saw nothing, but I think it's super cool that they're making a game about it.
Yeah,
it's Platinum Games too, right?
This is going to be a Ninja Turtles game that is like mature rated.
Yeah,
it but has also,
what Platinum?
But yes, what Platinum? But also, Platinum's done a Ninja Turtles game before. That's why I was like, wait a minute, we've been through this dance before. This one makes a bit more sense because that was weird. It was, as far as I can remember, it's the only Ninja Turtles game that is single player. You pay with
well,
the four
that's,
turtles.
This is why it's single player. Everyone else is dead.
Well, no, yeah. Wrath Throne makes sense, but the original one they made was a single player affair. I'm like, how do you make a Ninja Turtles game that's single player? The Wrath Throne explains that, because if you have not read it, it's actually a really good Ninja Turtles story. And I think, I mean, not rumored. We knew about a game years ago, but that was abandoned. And now Platinum's taken over development of this one. But they showed nothing. So as the diehard Ninja Turtle person, I want it to be great. But I also, like, that was like nothing to me. And I was like, Platinum, you've had your chance before, so you can't disappoint me twice.
So they've been pretty good over the last decade or so, since they released that other Turtles game.
I think their licensing team was awful, because they did Ninja Turtles, they did Transformers, and I want to say they did an Avatar game?
You like
The Last Airbender, yeah, not
they did a Legend of Korra game.
Yes, okay.
They did the Transformers game. They did Star Fox Zero and Guard.
Yeah.
One of which people like. yeah, it's but the, since that then, DMNT yes, game,
well,
it's
Babylon Fall.
Oh yeah, that's in there. I did miss that one. But for the most part, like Nier Automata, Astral Chain,
yes,
Bayonetta 3, Ninja Gaiden 4, like that. They've had some winners.
Yeah. But yeah, again, as a Ninja Turtles person, I will probably buy it because I'm just weak. But I saw that. I'm like, wait, what is this? Is Ninja Platinum Games? I'm like, oh. Then I asked Rowan, I'm like, okay, I'm back on board. But again, that's more because I have the comic it's based off of.
I might need to track that down if there's a collected version.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
I mean, we already talked about the two big ones for me, Final Fantasy and Castlevania, but another big one for me was Resident Evil Veronica. They're remaking Code Veronica. And I did get a confirmation today. My big concern of it was like, is this going to be in first person? I prefer to play Resident Evil in third person, especially a game that was originally in third person. It is all in third person.
That's what I said. I thought Code Veronica was in third person.
It was, but the trailer was very much like a lot of first person view. The game plays in third person, so I'm not sure they were going with like this cinematic type trailer where you were in Claire's kind of shoes. What I heard on Nextlander today is that it is a third person Resident Evil game. So I'm very excited for that. It is by the same team that did Resident Evil 2 and 4, the remakes.
Yes.
So great stuff there.
To the point I was making earlier about like Sonic and Mario and Zelda. Also, another company that has kind of figured out something that works for them is that we'll do a new Resident Evil. We have a bunch of them in the chambers that we can remake. And then we can kind of alternate that because you give your team time to build a new game while also getting to know the technology and build a, you know, a seller that people know and love. Like, yes, yep. Them being able to remake. I think after Veronica, the only one they really have left is Zero. I mean, I guess you can do 5 and 6 at some point, but.
Yeah, I guess Zero would be the next one of that era to kind of redo. 5 and 6. Six is a lot of work, I think. So
I would love to see what they would do with a 6. Because like, you'd have to keep the frame of it, but like I assume you'd probably even it out so it's more similar across the board instead of three very different types of games.
Yeah.
This was a big one for me too, Chris, because this is the one Resident Evil game I have not played because it has gotten no, like, even though all the originals have had like earlier updates that made them more playable, like this has never really
It plays like one, like the original one. Yeah. Version. Even the HD version that they released plays like that. Yeah.
So like I couldn't get into it. I was just like, ah. So I'm excited for this big time.
Good, good. I think you'll enjoy it. It is a like super goofy Resident Evil story. But if they're gonna update it like they did 4, which 4 had its weird quirks to it too, but I think they can make it work real well if they do the same thing with Veronica. Also, it seems like they dropped the code from it.
Yeah,
Resident Evil Veronica.
Which sounds like somebody, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Veronica. I want to make sure we talk about this.
Yeah.
Magician, the Devil's Deal. This was at the Xbox showcase.
Baby.
Yes. So this is the one that kind of looks like the other Xbox game. It kind of looks like Clockwork Revolution.
Which I also have on my list because it was like they both did good, and I like that they're kind of both taking the first person shooter in different direction. Clockwork Revolution kind of reminds me kind of BioShock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Magician like, oh, we're gonna have like this magician, and that's gonna be like the hook. It's like he has magic cards and stuff that shoots out of his hands and or their hands. I don't know. But I'm like, oh, this looks fun and it looks different. And again, it's like something where we're taking the first-person shooter and we're making something different with it. And I just wanted to call it out. I think it looks really good. I think it's the next year game? Or is it this year?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I know Clockwork Revolution's next year.
Yes, because that's the whole...
I think it's next year.
What was the Devil's Deal, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. It doesn't look like there's any date here.
Yeah, it just says 2027.
Yeah.
On the Focus Entertainment. But it looks good. It looks fun. And I'm curious to see more of it. But it's like one of those, it's like two of those games that really stood out. Is that Clockwork Revolution and Magic the Devil's Deal were both on my list. In terms of, I will say, I don't know if we're. But I thought of these shows, I thought Xbox was the one that I was most entertained by. So it's a great announcement. They had that weird dance of like, we're exclusive, we're not exclusive. Because I think out of all the announcements, there were two games that were actually just Xbox exclusives. And if you didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, the Gears of War stuff was less weird than it was. Just because it does seem like that was a very last minute decision.
Yeah, and that whole thing is very strange because they're trying to say that no, it wasn't a last minute decision. There was never a PlayStation. Like they have different executives saying different things. Like one person was like, no, we knew about this like a month ahead of time. We had made that decision. You have another person out there going, we never worked on a PS5 version of it. Like get your messaging in order. Stop doing interviews where you have differing answers. Very weird, but and Gears looks great.
Yeah, well. I will say it's so weird seeing them be normal proportioned in their street clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Gears armor does make them much bigger.
Yeah, but just like seeing them run around as normal people, I'm like, oh no. This I can't do this. It was I'm excited for it again, and I will say I don't think they needed to have the I don't know what they call it, the director's direct afterwards to like half an hour on Gears of War, because there's only so much you can say about Gears of War. It is the seventh game in the franchise.
Seventh game, well eighth if you count Tactics. Yeah,
yeah. We kind of don't like oh. We have the origin for the ants. I never cared about how the ants came to be. It's a badass gun. That's all I cared about.
I enjoy the story of Gears. I know that's like a weird thing to say about like a meathead type game, but they like I've read the novels. I think the world's fun. Yeah, there's a bunch of them actually. There's a handful of novels, five of them written by Karen Travis, who has done some Star Wars stuff as well. She consulted on this game with them. She also worked on Gears 3 with Epic when they made that one. So it sounds like they're leaning heavily into like the lore of everything and trying to line that up.
There's a bunch of them.
Yep.
Curtis Webb, Michael Stackpool, Joshua. No, that's a comic. Karen Travis.
Yep.
Yeah. I was just looking at the library app. Wow. Okay.
There's also a comic series, I think, that ran for 24 issues.
But you said the ones that check out are ones from Karen Travis.
The Karen Travis ones are the ones that tie most into the original trilogy.
She has a reputation for this. She's done Halo. She's done Star Wars.
Yep.
Okay.
She's evidently also a bit of a shitbag, but I don't know. Maybe she's changed her tune. She was a Brexiter. So you know where some of that lines. So anyway, anybody else got anything else? The only other one I have is I was excited to see the final piece of Final Fantasy VII's remake trilogy revealed. It's called Revelation.
And it's coming across all platforms on the same day.
Yep. Yep. So excited for that one. That should be fun. Jeff, did you end up finishing 7 remake?
Yeah. But I did not get Rebirth.
Rebirth yet?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. But not yet.
Yeah. Well, I think Rebirth is fun. It's a lot. There's a lot of game there, but it's a fun time.
I had 2 more games on my list.
Yeah.
The first one I think was not in any of the major ones. It was like one of those indie directs. Mm-hmm. It's called Mr. Records. And it's a rhythm-based platformer where you run a record shop and each stage is based off of a record that you get in your collection. And once you complete the stage of the record, then it kind of becomes also a shop management. So like then you get to sell the record and you get to like match it up, the record up to a patron or customer in your shop. The style is really cute. It stars an adorable elderly man. And again, the game just looks very novel and different. And again, I say this, maybe I will end up hating it because a lot of rhythm-based games. I mean, no, that's not true. I love Hi-Fi Rush. But seeing this, I'm like, oh, this looks like a really fun thing, especially coming off of like Rayman Legends Retold, which also has a bunch of musical themed platforming stages. It's kind of nice to see somebody else tackle that. Mm-hmm. And on the same note of just being a fan of platformers and seeing something kind of reborn, is Spyro, Realm Reborn, from Toys from Bob, I think it's coming to all platforms, but from Xbox. And I thought it was also just refreshing to see because Xbox has a lot of shooters. I think people were saying, the comment I saw on Blue Sky was the gun or sword show. And just seeing the Spyro, but also just kind of seeing like Toys for Bob kind of get out of the, and seeing any company where you get out of the Call of Duty Nexus. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have going.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what they do with Spyro. So,
yeah.
Tony, Jeff, anything else that you wanted to touch on from not E3 2026?
I could throw out a few real quick.
Go for it.
Star Wars Galactic Racers.
Oh, yeah. Looks super fun.
It looks really solid, and it definitely, like, I think I was telling you, Chris, it has, like, the thing from Burnout where you can, like, slam a car in a fucking wall, and, it, like, you just get an awesome shot of it, like, destroying.
Yeah, but good takedown mechanic.
Yeah, takedown. Yeah, that's what they called it. I guess in the somewhat same vein, Crazy Taxi World Tour. I think could be very fun.
I was excited for that, except for when people were talking about all the AI usage and.
I didn't see anything.
But yes, Crazy Taxi is I one of those. Also, just got into getting a payoff of the Sega games they announced like 4 years ago. We've gotten Shinobi, and I think this is the second one.
Yeah, and I think this has potential to be really good. Yeah, Shinobi was fucking awesome. I think this has the potential to be pretty good. Like, and it's fun to have like a arcade racer,
yes,
like a racer or whatever it is. Fable looks awesome. But I also was never a huge fan of that series back in the day, so I'm interested to see how I feel about it. And then ultimately,
it's not a Peter Molyneux game this time out. Jeff,
that's right. So Peter no longer exists.
Yeah,
that's not true. But
yeah, he's still around. He's just not in charge of Fable anymore.
And the last one for me is the only thing I cared about going in, and honestly, the only thing I really care about is Ocarina. It would have been nice to see the game.
Yeah,
but it's real. Yeah.
Again, very odd decision on how they revealed it, but I guess in the kind of funny, they call it WND, Weird Nintendo Decisions, and that's probably up there because again, I have no doubt it's a this year game. I don't think you put a date if you don't.
I don't know.
I'm 100% sure it's a this year game.
Okay.
Why they did it the way they did, only Nintendo knows.
So weird. Tony, anything else that you...
Yeah, I have four more, actually. Yeah. Power World 1.0.
Oh, that
That game is finally launching. I haven't played it in a little while, but I want to go back and try Power World the way it was, you know, meant to be played, which should be true in like a month. It's very soon.
Yeah, it should be very soon.
Game I've been following for a little while, Chronicles Medieval, which is like a medieval RTS / city builder game. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Stronghold 4 was announced.
That is very, that sounds super Tony game.
It does. I have not been wild about this series since the original, which was great. It's kind of like declined since then, but this looks pretty cool. We'll see if they can get their mojo back. I hope they can. And the other game that was kind of exciting for me, Company of Heroes Definitive Edition. Because that game is old now. And it was really good at launch. And the last Company of Heroes game, I enjoyed a lot more than a lot of other people did when they added like the campaign to it. I'm interested to see what they do with the old one. So
are they're remaking the original Company of Heroes?
It sounds like it's a remaster, which I would be fine with because the original game was really good. But we'll see if they change it at all. That studio has changed some stuff in the past with some of their other games. So we'll find out.
And Relic's working on that, I think, right?
It's a Relic game, yeah.
Yeah, good. Nice. Yeah.
I mean, there was some other stuff around, like Total War, that looked good, but nothing, like they announced a new Total War beforehand. So I was kind of hoping for like maybe a date on Warhammer 40K, but we did not get one.
That would be nice. But there's still some time left in the year. There's Gamescom coming up, so maybe we get some announcements there. And everything comes out
in October.
Yeah. Like I think once my birthday hits, end of August, that's when Zero Company comes out for Star Wars. The Metal Gear Solid Collection 2 comes out. I think something else comes out that day too. It's just like a deluge of games. Yes,
I think I don't have it. Somebody's keeping track of just the games announced during these showcases. got our launch in September, and it's like 2 weeks in September where like two dozen games are coming out, and they're all kind of competing. Like I,
some of them are gonna push, right? They're gonna fall next year.
Like Valor Mortis has moved already to October, but like just looking at this just from Polygon real quick of like September games, Barbados for the Switch, Halloween the Game, Valheim 1.1, RuneScape, Dragon Winds, Fire Emblem, Fortune's Weave, Trine 6, Dune Awakening, Control Resonance, Hot Wheels Infinite Rush, Silent Hill Townfall, Amiibo, Way of the Sword, Minecraft Dungeons. That's just in 2 weeks.
That's so many games.
And then like right now, I think October has like GTA and Metaphor Phantasmo for the Switch.
Jeff, it's gonna put a strain on us trying to keep it to the game we're playing. Which Jeff has done a better job than I have this year doing.
I don't know. I've been pretty like all over the place lately.
All right. Well, that's not E3. I think I agree with you, Earl. I think this was the best one
so far.
They've done so far since E3 kind of really fell apart.
I will say, when Keely started talking at the beginning of that show, I was like, just be quiet. You talked too long. Like, we understand why you're here. We get it.
Yeah.
You don't need to, like, tell us why video games are good. He was, like, given all these stats. I don't understand, like the PowerPoint presentation he had at the beginning. Where he's like, this number of games were released this year.
It's amazing. It was the theme. And I'm like, yeah, but how many of those are actually quality games?
Right. Like, how many of those were the $2 games that they're selling on Steam that you can get anytime you want and aren't actually games?
Yeah.
Yep. So many games release every week, and most of them are that shit. So
yes, most are not worth playing. Most are not worth even talking about, which is why we don't talk about
them. Yeah, like, it's one of those things where it's. I always have this issue with percentages. It's like 25%, but what is the baseline here? And it's the same thing. Like, the number of games doesn't necessarily mean the number of quality games. It doesn't mean the number of healthy games. It could literally just be a bunch of asset flips on Steam. And like, not just Steam. This is a thing of all marketplaces where there's just a bunch of games that come out.
Yep. In fact, there was a report that I read on, I think it was on True Achievements, but they were talking about PlayStation, where they just purged like 30,000 games from the PSN store. Because they were just like slop.
And you didn't notice they were gone. No one did.
No, because nobody was buying them. Like, I'm not even sure why they were there, but
there might have been people. It's kind of like, I like them as a company just because I enjoy bad movies. It's like the Asylum, where they make movies for your grandmother who goes to, I mean, nowadays, I don't even know where, but like back in the days, they started kind of like, as a Redbox company, they would make movies that are close enough to what was popular at the time that you like. There are, oh god, I wish I could find it. There was on Reset Era. There were threads about like, hey, Gears of War is coming to Nintendo Switch, and it's like a game called War of Gears or something like that. And it has like the fun and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, this is like for people who like aren't paying attention, and it's something close enough. Or there's a lot of like, Yaoi games, like a lot of the, we're gonna make a visual novel with half naked 12-year-old girls.
Yeah, there's a large contingent of them on the Nintendo eShop.
Yeah, it's one of those damned if you do that and if you don't, because I remember back in the age of like the Wii, people used to complain because Nintendo had a whole process for people to get verified on that system. which meant that there were certain indie games that would get rejected or get passed by or whatever. Yeah. So I think everybody went in the other direction, and I'm like, there's a middle ground. Hire a bunch of people. Like, it might take a few extra weeks, but like, actually curate it. So, or like, even if you don't curate it, where it's like, oh, we're gonna make sure every game's quality. They curate it to make sure that the ones you hired are actually quality games.
Yep. Well, speaking of, I don't know about quality. Some of them. What have you guys been playing over the last little bit? Tony, I'm sure not much for you, as you were on a work trip.
Yeah, I was gone for a lot of this portion. I will say that I did come back just in time for Hearts of Iron 4 to release their newest expansion, but I haven't really played it very much. Yeah, I haven't had a chance. I did get a new Xbox. We talked about this last time. My Xbox was dying. And that's actually what I spent a lot of the day doing, was putting the new Xbox in place and installing all the games that I had installed before, because you know, they're all gone now.
Well, I'm glad that it's back and working for you again. So
I'm curious, and I don't know, maybe this is a me thing. I always feel like whenever I do a new system transfer, it's always a good opportunity to like take stock of, like, I kept you on my system because you were already here, and I don't know, pay you. Were there any games like that for you?
So, my kids use the Xbox a lot more than I do. I'm more of a PC gamer these days. So what I did was, I have my 1 terabyte drive that's plugged into the Xbox. I pulled that out of the old one. Plug that into the new one. I'm good there. And then I went ahead and reinstalled all of the games that had been played by my kids in the past 2 months, which is not that many. Lots of Monster Hunter. So the two most recent Monster Hunter games got reinstalled. But and then I reinstalled Cyberpunk, you know, because I need to play more of that.
Finish up that. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I didn't touch anything that was older than that. So, unless it was on the external, it didn't get reinstalled. So we'll see. It looks like there's about 600 gigabytes left.
Oh, that's a good amount.
We'll see how many when my kids come over tomorrow. We'll see how many big games are like, oh no, we have to have this one, and we have to have this game that we played for 30 minutes in the past 2 years, but it's got to be on here.
Just in case they want to play it at any moment.
But at least I have an Xbox now where the controllers can connect to the system. The system can actually connect to the TV and the Wi-Fi. It works again.
Good. Good. Well, enjoy that.
Yeah.
Earl, did you get to play anything over the last little bit?
I mean, we talked about the Star Fox demo.
Yep.
I've talked about Fire Emblem Three Houses before. Again, it's been the same kind of rotation. Helldivers, Fortnite. Fortnite had the new season. I'll get into that next time, just for the changes they made. Other than that, I think there's one or two games, and damned if I remember. I mean, I beat Absalom a couple of times. Again, I still adore that game. It's just great to go back to. But yeah, it's my instincts of being frugal, and I want to play Bond so much. But Bond feels like a game that I'm going to get like 30, 40 bucks in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, buddy.
I will tell you about Bond next time out. I did buy it.
I've been holding off too, Earl. I haven't, because I've been traveling.
We all. Oh, Chris got it.
I bought it. It's my next game.
I've heard nothing but great things about it. Huge Bond fan. But I feel like it's just one of those things where it's going to be like, I think I will go for 50, if it hits 50 bucks, I'll get it. But if it's like one of those games, end of the year will be like 35, 40 bucks on sale. And they'll go Batman's in the same ballpark for me. And I desperately want to pay both of those. But I bet my mind is like, I know how prices go with these things.
Yeah. No, Earl, I was telling Chris the same thing. Those two specific games, I'm like, I can buy them now, but I know they're going to be cheap as fuck by the end of the year. That and Pragmata. That's like the third one for me. And like Capcom games always go on pretty good. So it's like, those are the three I've like sat out on that I do want to play before the end of the year.
Well, I haven't played Bond yet. I'm going to, but and I haven't played Lego Batman yet. I'll probably get that at some point. But I want you to play Pragmata, Jeff. I really enjoyed that one.
I mean, I tried the demo, and so yeah, I have a feeling I'll really like that.
Also, maybe I missed it. Has any of you played Yoshi?
No.
Okay, because there's a lot of people who've been talking about it, and they feel like that I'm being worn down because it's people I trust who are saying good.
Really? People are still talking about it? I thought it fucking landed like a wet fart and went away.
Because it's the way people are talking about it, I think people reviewed it, and to be fair, I think that Nintendo advertises it as like the next Yoshi platformer, but it seems like more like an adventure game. And how, like, an adventure puzzle game. And, like, the whole hook of it is discovering how all these enemies interact with Yoshi and his abilities. And I'm like, this is very novel, and I'm very curious. But again, that feels like a $30 game.
And you'll never get it for $30, but...
Yeah, you might, physically. Like, historically... But it's, like, one of those things where I'm like, okay, I will wait until... Again, just knowing what the industry is, prices are up across the board, and knowing that like there's going to come a time where either like Target or Amazon will buy two get one free, or we're gonna do like a digital. Like, there's a bunch of digital games right now. Oh, like I picked the Capcom Fighting Collection 2. That was on sale for $25, so I could finally have access to Power Stone 1 and 2 on my Switch. I picked up the Capcom Beat 'em Up Collection, because I think I mentioned this before, maybe I haven't mentioned this before, is that I get a bunch of random ideas in my head, and I think they're good ideas, and my friends don't ever talk me out of them. So I thought it would be a really great idea to do a beat 'em up night, because I have Shredder's Revenge, I have Game Pass, I have like not X-Men, Marvel's Cosmic Invasion. I have like the Kawabunga Collection. I have a Reader's Revenge. I had the Power Rangers game from the previous Power Rangers game, which wasn't that great. I forget what that was called. It was because I had gone to Barcade and I was playing X-Men Arcade with like three other people. I'm like, oh man, I missed this. So, and then that was right before they had actually announced the Marvel Extreme Collection. So I've just been stocking up on a bunch of beat 'em ups because I want to have a night where I invite like 5 or 6 friends over. We just go through a bunch of beat 'em ups.
That'd be fun.
Like the Marvel Collection was on sale for like $10. That has a bunch of them that I've never played. You know, again, Streets of Rage. I think a few of the Streets of Rage are on NSO. I have Streets of Rage 4. Again, with Game Pass, you would have access to Battletoads, which is I think 3 players. But just like, yeah, just being, I want to get a bunch of beat 'em ups and just make sure we have a bunch of options so that, again, we wouldn't go through them, but I want people to have options in case, like, I would focus more on, like, X-Men Arcade, Shredder's Revenge, Turtles in Time, and stuff like that. But I'm building up a collection so that when we do this, I'm like, yeah, we got a bunch of them. We're going to do this. And I feel like it's going to be more of a fall thing because I don't want to be stuck inside and there'll be, quote unquote, every summer day.
That's fair. Jeff, what have you been playing?
A whole bunch of filler games. Still trying to play Crimson Desert, the most unintuitive game ever created. Just everything about it, the controls, the puzzles, what you're supposed to be doing. It's just all like, you come to a point where you're just like, oh, I'm in a puzzle room, I'm just going to look it up, because this is fucking, I'm just going to sit here and bang my head against the fucking wall. And then they tuck away, like, very important things in, like, random corners of the map that you would never, ever be able to find without a video. Like, they added, like, and I have to find this stuff out from Sean, because he's deep into this. Like, he'll just be like, yo. Like, I'll be like, I'm done with this game, dude. And then he'll be like, yo. They just added a wyvern mount in the game, so you just fucking fly everywhere now. I was like, are you fucking serious? And like, I had to look, you know, he sends me the video how to get it. It's like, you literally have to find like this very tiny corner of the map on the side of a cliff and punch a fucking hole in the side of the cliff to find an egg. Then you have to bring that egg to a fucking nest that's around the corner. And then you have to like, wait for it to hatch, and then you have to like feed the thing meat over the course of 3 days, and then it, but now I got a fucking awesome mount, and it's it, and he's right, it's like
you night did and day it getting around after all that explanation. You're like,
yeah,
all right, I'll do that.
Yeah, and so it's a weird one, man. Like I probably would not be playing it still if not for Sean pointing out awesome shit like that to me, where I'm just like, oh, okay, that'll make the game better. And it's a game that just takes fucking forever to get going, it feels like. Like, I've finally done a few bosses now. But good lord, it's just like the biggest time suck of a game you've ever seen in your life. And just frustratingly unintuitive. Where you're just like, dude, how would you expect me to know to do that, dude? So that's Crimson Desert. Yeah, and then just like I said, just a bunch of filler stuff. And I guess like the big new game is the highest rated game of the year, Chris. Mina the Hollower. That's such a cool thing to say.
It's it's back up. I looked the other day and it was tied again with Forza, but it is going back up a point. So Jeff and I both finished it.
What did you think?
So I'll tell you what I told Jeff earlier today, right after I beat it. It's the first time a 5-star game has dropped to 4 stars because the last 5% of that game sucked.
Oh no.
It's not that it sucks. It's just that, I genuinely did not enjoy the last 5% of the game. Like, it is just brutally difficult. It's just a giant difficulty curve from like your last major area to the final. Like, once you get to this final area to do this final zone, it is brutal in its delivery. You go from like, I was killing enemies, you know, 2-3 hits, maybe 4 at times, to now like all the enemies are taking like 5-6 hits. Some of them, when you kill them, they respawn and you have to hit them another 5 or 6 times. They introduce mechanics that they haven't introduced, like that hadn't been in the game at all. Like, there's a whole section where you're in shadow and you can't see the floor.
Oh God, yeah.
Like that, it's horrible. It's so badly designed. And it took me a while to even like I was, all right, I got halfway. And then I got stuck on a section this morning and I was like, what the hell am I doing wrong? And it was just, the colors were blending together. I couldn't see something. It just, I did not have fun with I think it's called Radiant Manor. And then they throw like some bosses at you that are pretty tough. I didn't sour. Like, I enjoyed my overall time with the game. Also, the ending is a wet fart of an ending. It is so disappointing. I got to this last area. It's called Astral Ossuary, which is a really awesome level. Some really cool platforming throughout the whole thing. It's maybe the best level in the entire game. It really, you have to like, you have to kind of utilize everything you've learned throughout the whole game to get through this. And then they drop a boss on you at the end, which they've done in all the other zones. This boss, you get him down, and then he has a second phase. And that second phase is, there's two of them that you have to beat. They have a shared health meter. So, if you take down one to half, like, it's dead. They share that. But then there's a third phase, and they change the entire level on you where you have moving platforms. It's like, what the hell are we doing? So I did not enjoy the last 5% of the game, because like, once you beat the boss in Astral Ossuary,
the end.
Yeah, like you're at the last area and you have like one more zone to go through. It's just very difficult. And then the ending is basically you, the hero, are run out of town.
You didn't like that?
Well, no. you beat the bad guy who is like he's the mayor or whatever, the leader of this area. He's been manipulating everybody and manipulating you to like reactivate these towers. And they blame you for the fact that everything's gone bad and now monsters run, like, and I guess to an extent some of it's your fault, but evidently there's a good ending, Jeff.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's never going to happen because you need to do so much to get the good ending. So there's this piece after you beat Astral Ossuary, you go to the manor, you meet up with the mayor, and basically he's like having like a board meeting with all the councilmen, and you're like, no, you need to shut off these towers, and he's like, we're not going to do that. It's like, no, you're doing evil things, and then they lay down everything that you've done bad throughout the entire game.
Ouch.
So it's like, if you don't talk to this is the opening, like the tutorial section. If you don't talk to the captain of the crashed boat after, like, he talks to you, he's like, go to the town. If you don't talk to him again and try to convince him to come with you, they call that up and are like, you just left him to die. So it's neat that there's like all these things that impact the game, but to actually get the good ending, like, you'd have to have like the list of everything you need to do so that you don't get accused of that in the end. Jeff, you manipulated the game a little bit.
I cheated.
Basically, you fucked yourself over by putting on modifiers, which screwed your save. And then you stuck with it. So how did you end up with it?
So, yeah, I think I made it through the swamp area without cheating. So it's like the first couple areas. What's the area after the swamp area?
It's the Halloween town.
Septemberg. Yes.
Septemberg, yep.
That's when I started to, like, really get annoyed by, like, the kind of NES shit, like the difficult NES game shit they would put in it. Like, I was talking to Chris about this when we were recording our other show, where it's like kind of like when you're, it's the like bird hitting you in the face when you're trying to jump in Ninja Gaiden. There's a lot of that in this, and really started to fucking piss me off. Like, I never got mad at the boss fights or whatever, but somewhere in that fucking September area, I got fucking pissed off, and I turned on, like, you know, basically invincibility, and I can't fall in pits. And because I did that, like, it kind of, like, broke, like, the achievement system in the game or whatever. But also made the game a lot more pleasant, and I just kept with that for, like, the whole rest of the game. So I played 2/3 of the game, like, basically invincible, just kind of check out, and then, which is always like what I think is cool about Mina is the level design. It kind of takes from Dark Souls, where the levels kind of loop back on themselves. You're always opening a shortcut that makes everything easier for you. I really love that shit, and so I got to go do all that, explore, try to find as many secrets as I could and whatnot, and really have the stress of fucking shit flying at me from all angles as I go through the level, take it away from me. So in some ways, like, I ruined the game for myself. And then after I quote unquote beat it, I was like, fuck yeah, I got all these trinkets, you know, like these perks or whatever, and I'm all leveled up. I'm going to play New Game Plus, but I'm going to play it straight. And I started playing New Game Plus, and like the enemies are like at the very beginning of the game, Chris, like right as you're getting off the ship, like they're hard hitters, dude. Like, they hit you once and it's like more than half of your gigantic health bar gone. I'm like, I'm not
so, doing this. Yeah, because like you level up your health bar over the course of the game. Question for you is, can you advance past level 10, like in New Game Plus, or is it like you're still locked at 10?
I think you're just locked.
Okay, so it would just be really hard.
Yeah, and like, it would also make a lot of like the puzzles and or the secret rooms you find pointless because you'll go in and the chest will be empty because you have that trinket.
Yes.
But, I mean, I guess you could go over level 10 with a trinket. You could do 10 plus 1, but the trinkets that give you plus 1 arm or plus 1 defense and plus 1 attack. But,
that's the other thing that pissed me off about. Especially like the last like piece of the game is so you have these health vials, like they're basically potions that you'll drink, but Mina, she likes to take her time drinking a potion.
Yeah.
And if you get hit while you're drinking the potion, you lose the potion, and you'll only get the value that she has drank of the potion.
There's trinkets to mess with that, but yeah.
Yeah, like I got one that allows her to drink it faster, but I was still kind of getting screwed in some of the fights at the end because they move so fast or they have like falling platforms. And
that was one thing I found hard before I started cheating, was like finding the space in like a boss fight to do that, like to drink your health potion, because it's like it takes a couple seconds, you know? It's like, fuck. Yep.
So I was running, I'd gotten 5 trinket upgrades, so I could like equip 5 trinkets, and I had one that allowed me to burrow longer. So I could kind of like get underground and then get further away from the boss. And then I had a trinket that allowed me to drink it faster. And I also had one that, if I died, it basically was like an extra life, like it would bring me back at half health.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped out a bit, but rough, really rough. What was your weapon that you utilized, or did you use multiple ones?
Nah, the whip. I did try out, like I got shield at some point, which I thought was pretty good, but and I got something else too, but I pretty well stuck with the whip. I like whip mechanic in a game like that.
Yeah, that's what I use too. It basically plays like a top-down Castlevania.
Yeah,
like it's really really cool when it's clicking. And I think I did. You asked as I was playing it. You're like, you were like, how the hell are you like passing through this, but you can't do Elden Ring and Dark Souls?
Yeah. I think it's harder than any of that shit.
And I think I think my brain just works.
Yeah, you're just used to it from the back of the day.
These 2D type games that and when you put me in a 3D space, like I just don't know what the fuck I'm doing sometimes. Or I lose myself, like, because I always have a full view because everything's on the screen. So it's not like I'm not having to deal with the camera. I'm just like having to learn the boss patterns and utilize my skills like that Mina has.
Yeah, I could see it, but I do think that I think that like the difficulty of this game would make it hard for me to recommend to people.
It's
hard. Of course, I mean, they seem aware of this by the amount of ways you could fuck, like basically the game comes with a game genie in it where you can just do whatever the fuck you want, but so I don't know. I don't know, Earl, like if Earl, you've tried it or were planning to get it, but it's fucking hard, dude. But you could break it. You could cheat.
I will say, I tried the demo when it released back in January, February of this year, mm-hmm. and I was like, it's cute, but it's not for me. I mean, Connor's fate is fate. I'm not one for difficulties in games. I want to be tested, but I don't want to be frustrated.
Yeah, I do think like
I was frustrated.
At yeah,
I really enjoyed my time up until I got to that sixth final boss, and then from there it was like I'm having less fun now.
Even in stuff where I was still playing it straight, Chris, like in the swamp, I was starting to get aggravated having to try to go up river on these lilies that are coming down the screen. I'm just like, this is a fucking pain in the fucking ass. Like, why? And they like basically like put that I probably remember what I'm talking about, because they put it right before a boss fight. So you might struggle like six or seven tries to get up these lily pads, get up to a boss fight, die, and have to do it again. Like, I was just like, oh, you motherfuckers. Why couldn't you just put a fucking save point after these stupid fucking lily pads?
Yeah, it is. If they had just like, all right, you did the cool platforming thing that was hard. Now we're going to throw a save point here, and like you can refill your vials, you can refill your health, and you can go into the boss fresh. But yeah, that happened a few times where it was like, I'm going in. The train one was the one that I had the most trouble with. Was I'm going into the boss, because you have to do this gauntlet. You drop down onto the train, and then you have to do a run through the inside of the train to get to the front to climb up and fight the boss. But inside the like four train cars are enemies and platforming challenges, and it's very hard to make it through there without taking any damage.
Yeah, so you might be half fucked going into the boss, and then you're like, oh god, if I die, I have to do that whole gauntlet again. Like, things like that, where it's like, they're like kind of pushing the limits, like they're kind of like punishing you, and I'm just like, I don't know why you made it this fucked up, because like, the game you made is pretty awesome. It's just like, you could have done like, I guess their solution was like, the little things that we'll do for you are you could just turn on cheat codes and do whatever the fuck you want. But I was like somewhere in between that. Like, I don't know.
I think you might have, I don't know if you ever finished Celeste, but it's Celeste, very hard platformer.
No, I know Celeste. No.
Yeah. So like, I beat Celeste without using any other cheats as well. But like, when I beat that, I was like, yeah, like I really felt like that was awesome. When I beat this, I was just kind of like happy it was over. Like, and like, as of yesterday, before I got to this section, I was like, I was really having fun with it. And it's like, this is awesome. Like, it's right up there at the top. And now it's like number five on my top 10. Cause
yeah, no, I was super high in the game early on, cause I'm like, oh man, this is just like the music, the graphics, everything is so cool. And it's borrowing a lot from fucking FromSoft, and I just really dug it. And I'm like, as it went on, I'm like, there's too many NES annoyances in this after a while that, yeah, I would not give it like a 10 out of 10. It's like an 8. But can you imagine, like, if this was an actual NES game back in the day, like, you know, it would be a game you could play all year, probably. Like, you're just like,
oh, yeah.
It's a meatier game than any of that shit, or most NES games, anyways.
Yeah, let me see. What did... 22 hours for me to get through it. So
that's impressive. Like, I did it around the same time, but I was cheating. So damn, dude.
Very good game. Just I think they overstepped the difficulty at the end. But so that's Mina. Next time out, I'll have some First Light 007 to talk about. We'll also have, is it Silent Hill this month, Earl?
Yes, I think it is. The original Silent Hill.
Yes, we'll have the Silent Hill movie. And is that our last episode before 4th of July?
Yeah, because that would be in 2 weeks. That would be the week before 4th of July.
Yep, the 25th. So that'll be our, we're gonna drink on the show. Not that we're not ever not drinking on the show.
Never. I never drink on the show. What are you talking about?
Except Tony doesn't drink on the show. Or that one time we did what was Sean's show called? Anyway, that
we're old and can't remember. Sorry,
we did the 10th episode. Yeah, forgot the name of a show that only lasted like 15 episodes, but all their episodes were about 24 hours long. So, like,
I spent the entire time drinking. It was the whole yeah. thing.
And I remember we did their 10th episode special, and there was a whole bunch of us, and Mark Dub, he just passed out. He was the actual host of the show. He just passed out drunk. So I wasn't drinking that day because I closed that out for them. But
someone had to.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be back, and I guess we should probably do a Hall of Fame entry at some point. I don't know if we'll do it next week, but next time out. But we should do one soon, so we're not having to double up in December. But we'll be back. Jeff, say goodnight.